Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fursome Foursome. I'm Pastor Orrin Otter.
And I'm Rabbi Kuhn.
And I'm Abbot Babbit Rabbit.
And I'm the Servant Brother Caduceus.
And we're all here to give you your daily dose of Bible reading by cute furry animals.
Excuse me, Orrin, but I'm not furry.
By three cute furry animals and one who's close enough.
Just remember that in this monastery, we do not put onions on ice cream.
Noted for future reference. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Fursome Foursome. Let's go to today's Old Testament reading with Rabbi Kuhn. We'll be reading 1 Chronicles, chapters 9 and 10.
So, all Israel were reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression. Now the first inhabitants that dwelt in their possessions in their cities were the Israelites, the priests, Levites, and the Netinims. And in Jerusalem dwelt the children of Judah, and the children of Benjamin, and the children of Ephraim, and Manasseh. Uthai, the son of Amihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, the children of Perez, the son of Judah. And of the Shilonites, Asaiah, the firstborn, and his son, and the sons of Zerah, Jeuel, and their brethren, 690. And of the sons of Benjamin, Salu, the son of Meshullam, the son of Hodaviah, the son of Hesenuah, and Ibniah, the son of Jeroham, and Elah, the son of Uzi, the son of Michri, the son of Meshullam, the son of Shabbatiah, the son of Ruel, the son of Ibnijah, and their brothers, according to their generations, 956. All these were chief of their fathers in the house of their fathers, and of the priests, Jedaiah, and Jehoiarib, and Jachin, and Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Meraioth, the son of Ahitub, the ruler of the house of God, and Adaiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Peshur, the son of Malchijah, the son of Masai, the son of Adiel, the son of Jezerah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Meshillameth, the son of Immer, and their brethren, heads of the house of their fathers, 1,703, very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. And of the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashub, the son of Azrikam, the son of Heshabiah, the son of Merari, and Bakbakar, Heresh, and Galal, and Mataniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zikri, the son of Asaph, and Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Jedutun, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, that dwelt in the villages of the Netophathites. And the porters were Shalom, and Akub, and Talman, and Ahiman, and their brethren. Shalom was the chief, who hitherto waited in the king's gate eastward. They were porters in the companies of the children of Levi. And Shalom, the son of Kor, the son of Abiasaph, the son of Korah, and his brethren, of the house of his father, the Korahites, were over the work of service, keepers of the gates of the tabernacle, and their fathers, being over the host of the Lord, the keepers of the entry. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, was the ruler over them in time past, and the Lord was with him. And Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was porter of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. All these which were chosen to be porters in the gates were 212. These were reckoned by their genealogy in the villages whom David and Samuel the seer did ordain in their said office. So they and their children had the oversight at the gates of the house of the Lord, namely the house of the tabernacle, by wards. In four quarters were the porters toward the east, west, north, and south. And their brethren, which were in their villages, were come after 7 days from time to time with them. For these Levites, the four chief porters, were in their said office, and were over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged round about the house of God, because the charge was upon them, and the opening thereof every morning pertained to them. And certain of them had the charge of ministering vessels, that they should bring them in and out by tale. Some of them were also appointed to oversee the vessels and instruments of the sanctuary, and the fine flour, and the wine, and the oil, and the frankincense, and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. And Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shalom the Korathite, had the set office over the things that were made in the pans. And other of their brethren, the sons of the Korathites, were over the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who, remaining in their chambers, were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. These chief fathers of the Levites, have achieved throughout their generations. These dwelt at Jerusalem, and in Gibeon dwelt the father of Gibeon, Jehiel, whose wife's name was Maachah, and his firstborn, Abdon, then Zur, and Kish, and Baal, and Ner, and Nadab, and Gedor, and Ahio, and Zechariah, and Mikloth. And Mikloth begat Shimeam, and they also dwelt in with their brethren at Jerusalem, over against their brethren. And Ner begat Kish, and Kish begat Saul, and Saul begat Jonathan, and Malchishua, and Abinadab, and Eshbaal. And the son of Jonathan was Merabbaal, and Merabbaal begat Micah. And the sons of Micah were Pithon, and Melech, and Tahriah, and Ahaz. And Ahaz begat Jerah, and Jerah begat Alamet, and Azmavet, and Zimri, and Zimri begat Mosah, and Mosah begat Benaiah, and Rephaiah his son, Eliash his son, Azel his son. And Azel had 6 sons, whose names are these: Azrikam, Bochiru, and Ishmael, and Sheariah, and Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. Okay, now we're going to get into some more interesting stuff here. Now, the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and fell down slain at Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul, and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan, and Abinadab, and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor-bearer, "Draw thy sword, and thrust me through David, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was so afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise on the sword and died. So Saul died, and his 3 sons, and all his house died together. And when all the men of Israel that were in the valley saw that they fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, then they forsook their cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And when they had stripped him, they took his head, and took his armor, and sent into the land of the Philistines round about, to carry tidings unto their idols and to the people. And they put his armor in the house of their gods, and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. And when all Jabesh Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, they arose, all the valiant men, and took away the body of Saul, and the bodies of his sons, and brought them to Jabesh, and buried their bones under the oak in Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and joined the kingdom unto David the son of Jesse.
Thank you, Rabbi Kuhn. Now Abbot Babbitt will be reading Acts 27, verses 21 through 44.
Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 21. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.' On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let down the lifeboat into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.' So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. 'For the last 14 days,' he said, 'you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You will need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head.' After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food for themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely.
Thank you, Abbot Babbitt. Now Brother Caduceus will be reading Psalm 8.
To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Thank you, Brother Caduceus. Finally, here's today's Proverbs. Today's Proverbs are from the end of chapter 18, verses 23 and 24. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Say, Rabbi, when you were reading the genealogies and you came to the family of Jonathan, I didn't hear of Mephibosheth in there. He was Jonathan's offspring, wasn't he? I wonder how come he isn't mentioned.
That's a good question. You want me to go back and read it again, see if we can find him?
No, thank you, Rabbi. That's quite all right. Thank you. This has been the Fursome Foursome, your daily Bible reading with cute, furry,
and scaly
animals. The Fursome Foursome is brought to you by the Christian Furry Fellowship at St. Fred's. To find us, go to www.ottercomics.us and just follow the signs for St. Fred's. The Fursome Foursome broadcasts daily on the OtterTunes Shoutcast Radio Network.
Shall we retire to the Fellowship Hall for some coffee and some of Sister Gertie's brownies?
Oh, yes, I think that would be lovely.
Hey, please, Minister, did you hear the one about us?
Have a good morning, brothers and sisters, and God bless.